Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq, and I am your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And if you'd like to call in this morning, we're going to talk some really great subjects this morning. I say great, but they're important subjects, I believe, to our nation, to the world, and then also to our local community. The phone number is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. You're always welcome to call in if you have questions about any type of veterans issues that are going on in our community. If you have questions about veterans benefits, if you have questions about your military family, father, uncle, brother, sister, aunt, mom, dad, you name it, who has served in the military, and we will be like to answer those questions for you. Once again, the program is brought to you by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and Silver Star Veterans and Widows. And these are all programs underneath the Heritage Center portion of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And what a great opportunity it is for the museum to be able to stand up in our community and to help our youngest veterans through Homeward Bound and post 9/11 veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan through the global war on terror that continues to happen today as so many of our personnel are deployed overseas again, and then also to our elderly veterans and the widows after the veterans have passed, to be able to give them advocacy, help them with directions in the community, and help them with emergency services. And you sometimes people ask, where does the funding come from this? Well, it comes from you. It comes from individuals in our community who believe in our veterans who have served our country faithfully and honorably. And when you make that donation, if you're a business in our community and you make that donation, whether it's an in-kind donation or a cash donation or a food donation, all of those items come right back into our community to help our veterans and to help us to have a strong community here. You know, if we don't take care of ourselves, who's going to help take care of us? Every one of us needs to ask that, because we're not strangers. If you live in Northern California, even in Shasta, Tehama, Lassen, or Trinity, or Siskiyou, I mean, we are a particular breed of people who choose to live here because this is the place that we call home. It's not an easy place to live. Jobs are not easy. The environment sometimes is not easy, but we are large enough to be a large community, but small enough to be neighbors. And we continue to work with those in our community to make sure that they happen. After doing my second combat tour in Iraq and working with IEDs and explosives and everything else, and walking up on IEDs that were feet away from me that could have just misted my body, along with the men I was serving with when we did patrols, we were lucky to come home and have a second chance to live, literally have a second chance to live and to survive. And for us to be able to come back home and to have a second chance and know that there's a greater cause out there. I'm a firm believer, and I'll tell you straight up, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. After being in enemy action and literally walking up on 155 howitzer rounds that had wires coming out of them and going down into ravines, waiting for somebody to push a command deck button and take my life and the lives of those around me. For some reason, those bombs didn't go off that day. Feet away. It literally can scare the life out of you. It brings a new reality to you that life can be very short in a matter of seconds. And so given that opportunity to come back home, a second chance, and the question is, why me? And why not somebody else? And why them? And why not me? It came back to a point where, you know what? Second chance to live is second chance and an opportunity to make a difference in my life, in the life of my family, the life of my friends, and the life of those in our community. And so that's what these programs are about. They're about helping to make a difference. And sometimes I think that's the only reason I came back after watching others lose their lives, that being given a chance, a second chance, to be able to come back home and to be able to serve in the community and to serve our fellow veterans and to make our places where we live a better Northern California through our populace, through our veterans, and through our communities, that I think it's very important. And sometimes I think you just need your can rattled in order for you to wake up and see certain things. There's certain things we ask questions about that we'll never know the answers to. And I know that that's the way it is in my life at a lot of different things. And so being able to develop the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and then the sub-programs with Homeward Bound and Silver Star Widows and Warm a Vet and Christmas for the Troops, these are all fantastic opportunities for us as we serve in our community and we help make a difference to those that are around us. And sometimes, you know, I'll give you a quick analogy. There was a tourist on a beach out in the South Pacific, and there was a hurricane, and everybody was hiding from the hurricane. They were indoors. And as the hurricane passed, it just created devastation across the beaches. And the tourist came out after the storm had passed, and there was a native walking along the shoreline, picking up starfish and throwing them back in the ocean one at a time. And the tourist sat there, and he watched for a while, and he thought to himself, what is this guy doing? There's hundreds, if not thousands, of starfish that have been blown up on the shoreline, and this guy is walking along, throwing them out one at a time. And so the tourist finally walked up and talked to the native person that lived there. And he said, what are you doing just throwing these back in there? He said, how can you possibly make a difference by throwing them back in at one at a time? And so the native reached down. He picked up another starfish. He looked at the tourist, and he threw it way out into the water as far as he could. And then he turned to the tourist and said, it made a difference to that one. And that's what we do here. We make a difference to that one. To that individual, to that veteran, to that veteran's family, to that veteran's spouse who is a widow and doesn't have any direction, has no place to look. And so we are the opportunity to fill that need, that stopgap that may have not been there before. I know that it's not there a lot of times now because people come to our organization constantly looking for opportunities to get help and to succeed. And the whole idea behind the programs with the Northern California Veterans Museum is a hand up, not a handout. It's an opportunity for us to help people succeed in our community and not to have them be on a welfare situation. Because I am a firm believer that if you have not worn the uniform of the United States military, that you are a welfare recipient of freedom. You receive freedom every single day that somebody else has paid for, whether you acknowledge that fact or not. But when we go serve with the uniform of the United States military, when we wear that uniform and we're in combat, we don't stop and say, I'm not going in to breach that building because I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm this color or that color or I'm a man, I'm not a woman or whatever else. When you wear the uniform of the United States military, like we say with the Marine Corps, when I served with the Marine Corps, the only color in the Marine Corps is green. And that's exactly how it was. You serve your nation. As a whole, you serve the people as a whole to support and defend against foreign and domestic enemies. And so that's exactly how we continue to do it with our programs. It's the same thing as we did in the military. We serve those that are in need. And if they come to us and we have the opportunity and we have the grant funding to be able to make that happen, then that's what we do. We step out. We make that happen, or we find others in our community that have those resources that can go ahead and help us to be able to fulfill that need. And so when others in our community find out what we're doing and how we're helping those in our community, they step up and they help to donate and they help to support and they help to be part of the program, part of the solution. And so as we move forward with the Northern California Veterans Museum and our programs through 2020, as we come into this new decade, we are going to continue the mission of helping those in our community, because we have been given a second chance, those of us who have served in combat and have come home. We know what it's like to have your breath taken away by an explosion or by an enemy action, or to put a loved one or a buddy in a body bag and then deal with the aftermath. But that's okay, because that's part of living, and that's why we have a second chance to do what we're doing here in our Northern California community. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. the music that's brought in. What a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr emphasized the religious foundation of our nation. He said religious liberty is the scaffolding of a free government. Well, Mr. Barr is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own views, but seek to silence the religious voice.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
I know you're worn, I know you're torn. You're losing all your hope, 'cause you're a long way from home. Oh, I know you're worried, I know you're scared. I'd like to put my arms around you, tell you I care. Hope is in heaven, not far away. Just close your eyes, what you say. Feel him around you, he's everywhere, reaching to touch you. Know that he's there, deep in the heart of a war, he hears a soldier's prayer.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And we've just opened the program talking a little bit about what we do in our community with the Northern California Veterans Museum and what our motivation, some of our motivating factors are that help us push forward in our community, that help those in our military community and those in our normal community that are in need. And what it is that we step forward and make a difference in our community. We made a difference all around the world as military personnel. We were asked to go to far, far away places, to people that we've never met before, to situations that we never thought we'd put our lives on the line before. And we did our job faithfully, and we came home. We made it. And now that mission continues as we help those that are around us in our communities, that we continue to keep our communities built up. It's so important for us to be good citizens and to speak our peace and to make our community a better place to live. Because if we don't take care of our place, that where we live, in our homes, in our streets, in our community, if we don't hold others accountable to those taskings, then what good is it for us to have a community that we don't take care of? Well, it's like a car. You never change the tires on. You never change the fan belts. It's, you're driving around with one headlight, no brake lights. You got to keep it maintained. Our community is the same way. We have to keep it maintained. And silence is consent. And we don't consent. We got to speak our peace. We got to make sure that our voices are heard in a positive manner in our communities to make sure we continue to move forward. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about military personnel coming back into our communities from the war zone and then continuing to serve in our communities. We're going to have, excuse me, another leader here this morning. Our program is brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services and fire breaks after storm cleanup and removal of waste from transients. That one always gets me, having to clean up after other people who don't have enough common sense or courtesy to clean up after themselves. And so Foster's Brush Hog Service, Keith Foster, he supports this program because of his father is a Korean War veteran, United States Navy. And so thank you to Keith Foster. We'd like you to do business with him if you have the opportunity. The phone number is 440-9531. 440-9531. Keith Foster and his family live right there in Anderson. They do local work. They do good work. And so he is a supporter of this program and of the Northern California Veterans Museum. If you'd like more information to help sponsor this program or to help sponsor with the Northern California Veterans Museum, we'd like to invite you to call the museum phone number. It is 378-2280. 378-2280. And just a great way to help honor our veterans in our community and to continue to make things happen. You know, if you don't know about what's going on, we can't tell you if you don't know. And so I just want to let you know we have a great opportunity coming up here in February for Valentine's Day. It's a fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum. It's Valentine's Day Dinner and Dance, Saturday, February 8th. And it is from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. that Saturday evening. It is at 3210 West Center Street, Anderson. It is the VFW Event Hall right there across the railroad tracks from the Northern California Veterans Museum offices. And we're going to have a delicious gourmet spaghetti buffet dinner with all the fixings and several different types of great sauces, salads and breads and croutons and all-you-can-eat buffet. Going to be a wonderful evening. We're going to have dancing, games, drawings, silent auction, and live music with the DJ. It's $35 a couple or $20 an individual. Everything comes back to the museum through Homeward Bound and also Silver Star Widows. And so as you come and you help and to purchase dinner and have a nice evening and you support our veterans, you support those that are in need in our community as we move forward. And how often do you get a chance to take your sweetheart out or your wife or whoever? This is a great deal to come on out. If you're out to dinner, you're going to pay more than $35 a couple for your dinner for a nice Valentine's evening and support a great cause. Once again, and if you'd like information on those tickets, it is 378-2280, and you can call the museum office, and we will get back to you with the information that you're looking for. It's going to be a very, very nice evening, and we just like to invite you to come out, have a great evening, sponsor our veterans here in our community, and be able to move forward with that. So one of the things that we have the opportunity with is when our veterans families in our community come to us and donate those items to the Veterans Museum. And being the director of the museum and being able to be the curator and to receive some of these items, you cannot believe the historical items that are donated to the museum in honor of a family member, man or woman, son or daughter, family member who served their nation. And now these items are being brought to us. And we are constantly told by family members, hey, the kids don't want it. There's nobody left in the family to receive these items. We don't want to throw them in the trash. We don't want to put them on. We don't want to sell them. We don't want to separate these items. We don't want my father's story to be lost. I don't want my uncle's story to be lost or my grandfather. Or my mother served in the waves during World War II or Korea. And I don't want these things lost. It is such a pleasure when these individuals come to the museum and we're able to receive these items and to be able to keep them, archive them, and restore some of these items to be able for future use as we move forward with the larger museum project. And so an example is I had worked with a lady this week. Her father was a World War II veteran. He joined the Navy in 1925. And he was a chief petty officer, gunner's mate during Pearl Harbor. And he was on Corregidor, stationed on Corregidor when a Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And they fought as long as they could with the guns and with their limited resources there on the island of Corregidor, which is outside of Manila Bay in the Philippine Islands, if you're not aware of where that is. One of the major outposts that guarded Manila, a key outpost for the United States Navy, the U.S. government, since before 1898 with the Spanish-American War and the insurrection at that time frame, and also during World War I. And he was captured by the Japanese. His name was Leonard Taylor, Leonard Andrews Taylor. and he was a chief gunner's mate, captured by the Japanese, forced to march the Bataan, or the Bataan, or the Bataan Death March, however you would like to pronounce it. The Filipinos call it the Bataan, and normally when we talk about it in schools, we call it the Bataan Death March. And he was in that death march, and he was captured by the Japanese. And I have his war records, his war story, and that he wrote. It's called War Notes of his entire since the Japanese attack at Pearl Harbor, and he talks about his entire story of being captured by the Japanese. He talks about how they marched. He talked about the death along the pathways. He talked about the bayoneting from the Japanese to American soldiers, Navy personnel, who stopped to get a drink of water, stumbled. If you fell to your feet at any given time, you would be bayoneted, and that would be the end of your life. If the Filipinos came up to help or give water to the American forces, they were shot or they were bayoneted for trying to help the American forces just with water, just with water. The march to the internment camp, Cabanatuan and Mount Samat and San Fernando and all along those ways. In 2012, I had the opportunity to go back to the Philippine Islands and to walk those paths of the Bataan Death March, along with Mike Coffey and Benjamin Coffey, who helped sponsor that program. My father was part of the liberating forces during the United States retaking of the Philippine Islands, and he was served on the SS President Adams Liberty ship, a victory ship during that time frame, bringing supplies in to the islands at the Liberation in the Manila Bay, in there at Corregidor. And I was able to walk my father's footsteps as he was there, part of the liberating forces, to be able to help support the Philippines, the Filipinos, and the American forces who had been taken captured during that time frame. And being able to walk on the island of Corregidor and through the barracks and through the hospital and through the officers' barracks that were captured and burned by the Japanese, being able to walk through the gun emplacements with the disappearing guns, 25-foot barrels on these disappearing guns. It's almost hard to talk about because it's so unbelievable to actually walk on history and to be able to be there in those caves and where the guns are still there. All of those disappearing guns are still there. They're still in the emplacements where they were at when they were originally put there in the early 1912s. And to be able to go through that area, go walk through the caves with all the bottles of sake and everything else that had been thrown in there from the Japanese bonsai attacks, and to put your hand on history and to know what took place there. And as we talk about that, we also are talking about the 75th anniversary on Monday of the Auschwitz, the liberation of Auschwitz and the Holocaust that took place in Europe during that same time frame. And so many during World War II who had their lives taken or who gave their lives in defense of. It's just amazing. You know, over 6 million Jews gave their lives during that time frame. And one of the things that really floors me is two-thirds of millennials don't even know what Auschwitz is. And if you don't know what a millennial is, it's an individual, United States citizen who was born between 1980 and 1990. Who puts those individuals, those kids, are now adults in their late 20s and early 30s. Two-thirds of American millennials surveyed in a recent poll cannot identify what Auschwitz is, according to the study released on the Holocaust Remembrance Day that found that knowledge of the genocide that killed 6 million Jews during World War II is not robust among American adults. 22% of millennials in the poll said they haven't heard of the Holocaust or are not sure whether they've heard of it at all. Twice that percentage of U.S. adults are a whole who said the same thing. The study conducted by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany interviewed 1,350 American adults in February and recruited by telephone and online probability sample. And that just goes to show you that our schools are not transferring that information. And that's why the Northern California Veterans Museum in Northern California is so important as we continue to tell the story of our military personnel and we tell the history that has not been told or has fallen to the side. Because that atrocity should not be forgotten. It cannot be forgotten. And we never want it to be duplicated again in our nation or anywhere else around the world. We'll be right back.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marking this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Like weeks, the weeks turn into years. I can still see your cheeks holding up them tears. After all the times I'd seen, I'd be gone.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, United States Navy retired, Navy Seabees, two tours in Iraq. And you're listening once again to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And our guest this morning is Mark George. If you'd like to call in, it's 605-4367. That's 605-4367. Brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service, Brush Clearing Service, and also by the Northern California Veterans Museum. And so as we get ready to go, we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about veterans who come back and serving around the world and then serving in our community and being leaders, being able to help promote leadership in our community with others and then bringing what they learned during their military service back. And so good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
I am good.
Now, you told me your title again. Mark and I have served together many, many, many years hours out at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. He is the director, but you have a new title.
Yes. About 2 years ago, I took on the title of State Cemetery's Operations Manager, meaning that now I'm responsible for all three of the state veterans cemeteries that CalVet operates.
And so that is the Northern California Veterans Museum at IGO, the Veterans Museum, or what do they call the one at Monterey?
So the Monterey Cemetery is the California Central Coast Veterans Cemetery,
okay.
And it's at the former Fort Ord.
And then Yountville?
The Yountville Cemetery is the Yountville Memorial Grove Veterans Cemetery located at the Yountville Veterans Home.
And what a lot of you don't know, if you don't know about Yountville, Yountville was actually built in 1892. It is the original veterans home in Northern California, in all of California. And it had veterans there from the Civil War, from the Indian War, and from the Spanish-American War. I mean, all the way till now, till Iraq and Afghanistan.
Correct. And including Civil War veterans are there. You know, you name it. There's
Yes, the original one. I mean, those guys that came out during the Gold Rush after the Civil War and everything else, and they lived there at that home. And then they were interred there. And so if a lot of people don't know that Yountville is not just a home. It is the original veterans cemetery of all of California.
Yeah, it's actually the cemetery there over the 100-plus years that it's been there. It's been moved a couple times as well. As the home has grown and expanded, the cemetery got moved a couple times.
There's so much history there that nobody really ever knows about unless we talk about it. You know, you are a Desert Storm veteran, United States Army, and right off the bat, I want to say thank you for your service and for serving our nation during that time frame. You were there with the Armored Division, and you're out there blowing up bad guys. I was at 29 Palms with the Marine Corps as a CB, helping to build bases there at 29 Palms, getting ready to go as a second wave. And then when they had the Highway of Death out Highway 80 north of Kuwait, where all of the A-10s came through and it destroyed all of those military vehicles trying to leave Kuwait after the invasion. They said, okay, the war's over with. They shipped everybody back home. And so I never got my chance to deploy at the very beginning during that time.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is that Highway of Death, the tank battle that I was a part of, was supposed to keep us from getting to that highway. The Iraqi Republican Guard had set up a defensive line of their armored division, or a couple of their divisions, and was supposed to stop us from getting through them. And we punched through that both lines of that defense in about 45 minutes. We took out over 133 tanks and personnel carriers that day, which actually stands as the largest U.S. armored battle in U.S. history.
At one given time.
That is correct.
And that was amazing because I can remember watching everything on TV at that time and watching them sweep into the Persian Gulf and then watching the directive of coming around the outside of the Kuwaiti desert to swing back in. And then you guys kind of just swept right up underneath through MSR-7 is what we called it, Main Supply Route 7, but up through the Ramallah oil fields, back up.
Yeah, we actually were the wide, they called it the 7th Corps swing, which went way out through the Saudi Arabian desert and out into Iraq and then back down towards Kuwait.
Yeah, you did that wide sweep and you guys just came right back in. I remember watching all those tactics and then coming back and looking at it afterwards. Because we studied that area as we were getting ready to go back in again for the second and third times.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting because we had outrun our fuel. We had to stop and wait for the fuel trucks to catch back up with us. One of the nice things, I suppose, about the Abrams is how fast we can go.
Yeah, because it has the same engine as the Apache
right.
helicopter.
It's a 1,500 horsepower turbine jet engine.
Yes,
basically.
It is, yeah.
So...
Well, when I came back from Iraq, after that happened in 92, the 4th ID was at Hunter Liggett doing their tank range, tank calls down there. And I, as a CB, ran a water truck. I would run the water truck down the range and would dry everything off, and then they would run the M1 down through there. They'd fire their rounds, their sables down range, they'd qualify. And the turbines were drying the ground out so fast. I mean, I could have a puddle of water there and then come back and it's gone because of the heat. Every time a tank would go down, I'd come back and rerun the water trucks to keep the dirt down so that every time they fired, they could see where they were shooting at because it creates so much dirt, dust, and debris when they fire downrange.
Absolutely. It sends up a nice cloud, but I'll tell you, that turbine is quite lovely in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, keeps it nice and warm.
Oh, yeah, there's usually quite a few huddles behind the tanks in the mornings.
Well, you know, one of the motivating songs that was played right at the beginning of Desert Storm was God Bless the USA by Lynn Greenwood. And we're going to play that real quick, and then we're going to come back and keep talking.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Mark George with the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. We'll be right back.
We are updating our equipment here at KCNR. If you hear a little static or perhaps some silence, we appreciate your patience as we address those issues.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I had a little problem with the music this morning, but once again, good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, and my guest is Mark George, who is the director for the Northern California Veterans Cemeteries and the Igo Veterans Cemetery here in our Shasta County area. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Rob.
We're talking about your military duty with the infantry, armored. Excuse me. Okay, he's going to slap me across the table. He's not infantry. He's armored.
Start lobbing some sable rounds
across
the table.
That's right. And I know what sable rounds are, too. And so, Mark, I want to thank you for being here. I want you to share some more of your experience in the United States Army when you served and why you served as a young kid. What was the reason to go in? I mean, a lot of times people go in from a lot of different aspects and reasons, or family members and heritage. But tell us a little bit more about your story.
So I have to say it was heritage. Most of my family, starting with my grandfather, had all served in one capacity or another. My grandfather had served during World War II in the Navy as a submariner, then couldn't get enough, got out, went in the Army National Guard, went to Korea.
Was that the Tang? Which submarine was that?
So he was, in World War II, he was on the Whale, the Haddock, and the Trepang.
The Trepang, that's the one where you have the flag for, the battle flag.
Yeah, he was a plank owner for the Trepang, so he was commissioned and then decommissioned with that ship.
So wow,
he
so that got was a love of his life almost.
Yeah, and it was only, I think, 2 years, maybe 2.5 years that he was with that ship. But
boat.
I'm sorry, boat.
Submarine.
Das boat.
That's it.
Das boat. But so yes, when he exited the Navy, he received the gangplank sign, the battle flag, and the Union Jack.
What an opportunity.
So when he passed, those were passed on to me. And I have a couple of those items with the museum,
yes,
as a matter of fact. So then my stepdad served. Two of my older brothers served. My neighbor at the time, I think I was probably fourth or fifth grade at the time, was an Army reservist who actually went active duty and became a Green Beret. Yeah, all those influences probably never made it a question whether I was going to go in the military or not. It was just a matter of which branch of service and then what to do once I went in.
Who says when you do things right in your community that you aren't a positive influence to those around you? I mean, that's exactly what put you into the Army. And then, I mean, look where you're at in our community right now. So what else? What was it like when you first went into for boot camp?
So I got to Fort Knox, where the tank center was at that time, the latter part of July. And I think I was there for 2 weeks when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And all those in the military or prior to or have been in the military could probably have very good ideas what the drill sergeants were saying once that happened.
And you get that lump in your throat. And all of a sudden, you got a lump in your chest. It's like, oh, here we go.
So exactly. You folks had better be prepared because you're going to war, for lack of – or to clean that up a little bit.
Right.
Fort Knox was actually, you know, really good for me. Loved it there. Actually, I graduated number two overall in my training, which was combined basic and tank training.
Outstanding.
So, although I always, you know, I kicked myself for not winning that patent award, but, you know, the Armor Association Award, okay, fine, I'll take that.
Yeah. Minor details.
Right. But I was, we were actually the last training battalion or training company that was actually able to go home for Christmas, the Christmas exit or holiday exodus, right before Thanksgiving in 1990. Everybody else after us got held because of the buildup. And I got to Germany. I was actually assigned to Germany 1st Armored Division when I came back, and we didn't even get it. By the time we got down to where my place was, which was Erlangen, Germany, which is right near Nuremberg, we didn't even get off the bus before the person that greeted us told us, yeah, we're going, and our tanks are already gone. As a matter of fact.
So they already had – all those same ones were already stationed in Germany? Is that what they were already stationed?
No. So when I got assigned to whatever replacement battalion – how they assign these your duty stations, everybody kind of gets scattered to whichever. So some people go to say Fort Hood, some people to go Fort Riley, some people to go over to Europe. And in Europe at the time, there was 3rd Infantry Division, 1st Armored Division, and many many others over there. I ended up getting assigned into 1st Armored Division, and my battalion was located in Erlangen. So it's not like in the States where you have one big army post where, say, all of 1st Cav Division, all of 1st or 2nd ACR, Armored Cavalry Regiment is assigned, and 4th ID, which you talked about earlier.
Right. 4th ID, I served with 4th ID and 3rd ID
right.
in 2003 when we were there.
Yeah. 4th ID actually came to Fort Hood right after I left Fort Hood, which is down the road a little ways. But when we got bused down to our duty station there at Erlangen, when the person came on to greet us, I think one of the people in the front of the bus must have asked right away, because it passed down the line of all the bus aisles, that, oh, yeah, we're going. And matter of fact, the tanks were already put on the ships, and they're already on their way. So
MPF ships were the military prepositioned forces.
Right.
Yeah. And so when as a CB, we unloaded those ships, so they were coming into Kuwaiti Naval Base, and they're at Doha, at the Persian Gulf, and bringing that equipment in and staging it. That was what I did the second time in 2003 at the beginning of the war. We staged all that equipment at the very front of the lines. They're on the Kuwaiti-Iraqi border, so that as we got ready to the balloon went up and we got the call to go, everything was fueled, ready to go, and we just went.
Yeah, ours was in – I think we were in Dahran at the time.
And, Saudi Arabia.
Yes. And when we flew out of Germany, we flew out on New Year's Eve. So I got about 3 weeks in Germany, and enough to play in the snow for a little bit and do some training. But, it was snowing the night of New Year's Eve when we left Nuremberg, and when we landed in Saudi Arabia the next day, it was sunny and 90 degrees.
Right.
So here's all these GIs stripping all this wool underclothes off on the tarmac as quickly as they could as the day went on. So that was kind of funny.
Well, one thing about getting deployed like that is the letters that you send home, and we're going to play a song real quick, and it's called Letters from War.
Absolutely.
To the mailbox on that bright summer's day, found a letter from her son in a war far away. He spoke of the weather and good friends that he'd made. Said, I've been thinking about dad and the life that he had. That's why then at the end he said, you are what I'm fighting for. It was the first of his letters from war. She started writing, you're good and you're brave. What a father that you'll be someday. Make it home, make it safe. They still not forget. Oh, her tears stained the paper with every word that she read. It said, I was up on a hill, I was out there alone when the shots all rang out and bombs were exploding. That's when I saw him, he came back for me.
Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and this is Senior Chief Ron Burrows. Our guest this morning is the director for the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. And, Mark, we just want to thank you for being here. We're going to be going on into some more things coming into this next hour. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
So empty. You're strong.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. After several days of prosecution arguments, the U.S. Senate today got a chance to hear from the president's impeachment team. Here's correspondent Bernie Bent.
The president's lead attorney, Pat Cipollone, ended his opening remarks with a question.
If you were really interested in finding out the truth, why would you run a process the way they ran?
President Trump's personal attorney, Jay Sekulow, continued that thought.
Disagreeing with the president's decision on foreign policy matters or whose advice he's going to take is in no way an impeachable offense.
The president's team says House Democrats have not accused the president of an actual crime.
That is Capitol Hill correspondent Bernie Bennett reporting. The president has become the first U.S. president to ever attend the annual March for Life rally.
Every life brings love into this world. Every child brings joy to a family. Every person is worth protecting.
He was the first not only to attend the event, but of course to take the stage, as you heard there, and address the tens of thousands of pro-life Americans who traveled to Washington for the event. China is expanding its lockdown against a deadly new virus to an unprecedented 36 million people now and rushing to build a prefabricated 1,000-bed hospital who may be victims as the outbreak casts a pall over the Lunar New Year, the country's biggest and most festive holiday. Here's the BBC's Stephen McDonald.
You can't move around China at the moment without being aware of this crisis. Health screening is in place at transport hubs across the country. Public celebrations marking the Lunar New Year are being cancelled, and the inconvenience is considerable. In Wuhan, where the coronavirus outbreak started, hospitals are stretched to the limit. The stress on the system is starting to take its toll. The Chinese government has released footage of a new quarantine facility under construction at a frantic pace. They say it'll be used to cope with an ever-growing number of patients infected with the coronavirus.
More of these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Walmart says it's testing the idea of higher wages.
This will be for new hourly positions at 500 of its U.S. stores, part of an overall strategy to better empower its staff. The nation's largest private employer says it will be raising the starting hourly wages to $12 from $11 for the new roles. These workers will help solve problems like inventory issues instead of only completing tasks given to them by managers. The move comes as Walmart, like many other retailers, are under pressure to improve customer service as they fight online giant Amazon. John Scott reporting.
A 6.8 magnitude earthquake rocked a sparsely populated part of eastern Turkey on Friday, killing at least 18 people, injuring more than 500, leaving some 30 people trapped in the wreckage of toppled buildings. Rescue teams from neighboring provinces were dispatched to the affected areas, working in the dark with floodlights and the freezing cold. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Trump administration officials say e-commerce companies and the government must do more to fight the rise of counterfeit products.
An action plan released Friday says the government will increase scrutiny of e-commerce and recommends that the major online companies take a variety of measures to address fraud. The report is in response to a presidential memorandum signed in April. It vowed to rein in what the administration calls a wild west of online trafficking and counterfeit goods. Department of Homeland Security officials say counterfeit goods pose a threat to the economy and to public health. Keith Peters reporting.
Presidential candidate Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard has defeated a man at a push-ups contest during a New Hampshire town hall meeting on the campaign trail yesterday. She was asked if she could
beat former Vice President Joe Biden in a push-up contest, sparking an impromptu challenge with a supporter. The Hawaii congresswoman answered the man, saying that her informed guess is that would be yes. More details at townhall.com.
Are you considering what high school your student may attend? At Reading School of the Arts, we're exploring the possibility of a new high school. An informational meeting will be held January 29th, 6:30 p.m. at RSA, located at 955 Inspiration Place in Reading. RSA is gathering information from our community and exploring partnerships with Shasta Community College to determine if there is a need for a small, early college high school. RSA remains dedicated to the mission of interdisciplinary instruction, visual and performing arts, and development of multicultural understanding through language study. 9th and 10th grade students would attend school 5 days a week on campus. 11th and 12th graders would take a combination of on-site classes and Shasta Community College classes, allowing them to pursue career options and earn college units prior to graduation. The meeting is January 29th at 6:30 p.m. Call 530-247-6933.
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left. But if she could see inside me, it would scare her to death. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how. Put that uniform on, I just can't get it off. Last Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown, and when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us, all do stay, 'cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back there. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. They taught me how. Put that uniform on, I just can't get it off. Well, the devil's won some battles, and he may win some more, but don't he know the American soldier will always win.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My guest this morning is Mark George, United States Army, And he was with, it was first, right? The first Old Ironsides, which is Armored Division during Desert Storm. And he is now the director for the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. I almost want to say museum, but it's the cemetery out there at the Igo location out in the middle of no place. But it's, you know, we call it Arlington West out there. And I just, after going to Washington, D.C., doing the honor flights and being at Arlington for so many times and then coming home and then interring our veterans there, it is our Arlington West here in our Northern California. And we want to go back. We were just talking before the break about this, your service, the United States Army, what you were doing when you were getting ready to go into Iraq and in the battle that you were with. Tell us a little bit more about being in the tank and doing your job, firing down range, and what it felt like to be going from the inception of, hey, we're gonna go to war now. Hey, we're in our vehicle. Now we're traveling forward. Hey, now we're getting ready to meet the enemy. And then, like we just talked about with the song, The Soldier's Memoir, how we are taught to go in, we fight, we do our job, we come home. And it's really hard to take that uniform off sometimes. And to get that out of, we take the uniform off, but it's still in our minds. It's still in our heads, and certain things just bring us right back to where we were when we were engaging the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I noticed for when I came back from Desert Storm, it was actually about 6 months after. It was not even the 6 months, because we got back to Germany in May of 91, and I came home in right at the end of June, first part of July of 91, and just in time for 4th of July. And the sounds and sights of the fireworks that year were absolutely so much different for me than they ever had been, because the boom of that firework going off and then the sparks of it, I mean, the people that I've talked to from seeing the tank battle that I was in, the sight of a tank exploding is a lot like a Roman candle when it goes up.
So. Well, when those sable rounds are fired down range, because when I was working with the 4th ID on the range there, and, I mean, you see that red streak across the sky, and all of a sudden it disappears, and then boom, I mean, there's a massive explosion where it hits the target. And they hit the target. There's not a whole lot of misses.
Yeah, absolutely. The after-action stuff that they did from our battle, they showed that most of the Iraqi tanks that we hit had been hit somewhere around 3 to 4 times, because the gunners would shoot them until you would see that massive catastrophic explosion.
Right.
And
you showed me some of those kill shots
of
some of the battles that you were in.
Yeah.
And those are just something amazing. It's one thing to watch it in training and do the quals. It's another thing to watch it in real life and see the enemy explode.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we ended up driving right through that line of tanks that we'd fired up. So the fastest or longest 45 minutes of my whole lifetime. So, yeah, we were only there, having come from Europe, we were only there for a total of 5 months. Again, this is right after the fall, more or less within a year or two of the fall of the Berlin Wall. So they sent the European troops right back.
Wow.
So, you know, we had some break, at least some of us did, before we actually came home to our families.
Did you have any Iraqi soldiers surrender to your tank?
I had a couple of Iraqi soldiers try to surrender to my tank, but that was probably the closest I got personally to firing off my machine gun directly at the enemy. But you know, we waved because they popped up out of a hole,
right?
Rat
holes.
Yeah, exactly. But we waved them by. We actually had a company of infantry attached to our tank company that would handle that portion.
So then they just waved them by.
Yeah, we just waved them past us, make sure they weren't armed, or,
right?
You know, going to do something behind us. But other than that, we would just wave them past us because we're dealing with the tank fight in front of us.
So how long do you think were you out there in the engagement area until recalled you back to Saudi Arabia?
We were probably there for another 6 weeks or so before we started the road march back. So
that was I remember the sweep and watching how all that took place, because I was at 29 Palms. We were doing duty for the Marine Corps at that time, and I remember watching because all they play is CNN and the military bases. Like, I can never understand why military bases play CNN when it is the most opposite of what we do in our duties.
Well, everybody has to remember that back in 1991, there wasn't a whole lot other than CNN right? out there, you know.
But it just always amazed me that that was what they were playing at the time. That we, even when we were in Iraq, they didn't play Fox. They played CNN. It's like, wow, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. So we're getting ready to come up on another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. And we'd like you to, if you have a question about the cemetery, you have a question about the interment of a loved one, a military personnel, or a spouse of a veteran who's qualified, we'd like you to call in. You can ask Mark questions or if I can help you. The phone number, once again, is 605-4567, 605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orta Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Battlefield Expressions, and we are talking with Mark George, who is the director for the Northern California Cemetery. We've been talking about his military duty, the time that he spent in the armored division in Iraq and Kuwait during Desert Storm. And once again, I just want to say thank you from one Desert Storm veteran to another. I didn't make it deployed into Saudi Arabia during that time frame. I was stuck at 29 Palms Marine Corps Base working for the Marine Corps, which really wasn't bad. It's all good. It's all part of our service. And then I did two other tours after that in Iraq at the 2003 and then 06, 07 running convoys out of Fallujah. And so when I came back from Iraq in 2007, I was dealing with all my PTSD issues and coming back from the combat zone. And one of my opportunities was to do honor guard duties at the cemetery, at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And so between 2007 and 2013, throughout Northern California, I was able to present over 2,000 services, 2,000 flags to military families. And during that time frame, it's when you and I met, is when you were working at the cemetery, and then you became part of the leadership there at the cemetery as a key director, and continuing to work together to do the services and to do the different events out there. I just will say, Mark, it's a privilege to be able to work with you and to know you as a fellow veteran. And for us coming up as Desert Storm veterans, as the next generation, to be able to step up and continue to carry the mission to honor our veterans from our World War II, our Korean War veterans, our Vietnam veterans, on into those who served with us, Desert Storm, and then Global War on Terror. And I think it's just a great opportunity when we can come together and we can work together as a team in our community and throughout Northern California, and to be able to make those differences. And would you have ever thought, Mark, that when you were thinking about going into the Army as a kid, thinking about your family members who served, and then you went to boot camp, that you would ever find yourself in a leadership position in Northern California like you are right now?
Absolutely not. I think at the time, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you barely see the marching steps in front of you, right? You know, so
it's a vertical learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the journey to get to where I'm at now, it was, you know, obviously life is what it is. And when I first started at the cemetery, I took on that position after spending quite a bit of time working for the state in another capacity. And I started out there as a lead groundskeeper. For me, it was sometimes just nice to put my headphones on and do my job, mow the grass and trim the headstones.
That was the last break you were going to get.
Yeah, exactly. As I learned more about the position and what I was actually doing, it took on a lot different perspective for me. Now, when I was still active duty and I had moved to Fort Hood from Europe, I actually got selected to be on an honor guard detail when we pulled division duty for a little while there at Fort Hood when I was with 1st Cav Division. And so I got to travel around Texas doing the honor guard details and folding the flags for the fallen at that time. So those kind of memories really came up and started really coming back to me. And when the opportunity came up to take a role in the office there at the cemetery, when the director and his basically next in command decided to retire the same day back in 2014, I decided to take the leap and see where I could go from there. And at the time, it seemed like a great time to get out of the rain, right, and the mud, you know. But I'll never forget my worst night in the actual active duty was at Fort Hood, not during the war. It was actually at Fort Hood out during gunnery, and the rain was blowing in under on the tanks, you set up a tarp basically as your tent at night. And the rain there in Texas was blowing in from every direction, and I curled myself up into a ball between the two top hatches, and I literally outside was yelling to myself, "Why did you do this?" You know,
well, join the army and begin. Well, you're supposed to be in the tank where right. You're out of the weather, not next right. To the tank.
Right. So, the rain and I, we have this love hate relationship. But fast forward to now. You know, when the opportunity came up to promote to the actual manager of the cemetery, I looked at that like my opportunity to be able to have a say in the direction the cemetery went moving into the future. And as that's the first few years of that went well, CalVet looked at the future of the cemetery program and where we were going to go. In 2016, we opened the newest CalVet Cemetery, which is at the former Fort Ord.
In Monterey.
They opened with only columbaria, but that was to be able to get their foot in the door, as it were, into the VA grants program for state cemeteries. Currently, their days or less starting construction on the first expansion of that cemetery, where they will actually start doing all the in-ground burials, the casketed and in-ground cremains burials. So that's a pretty big, exciting step for everyone down there.
You showed me the master plan for that, and that place is gigantic. I mean, the columbariums just alone, but when they start putting in the whole rest of that cemetery – I mean, it is a great big facility compared to what IGO is.
Actually, well, at the time, it looks like it's bigger. Overall, IGO will still be the big brother on the block.
Well, because we don't have all of our property developed out there yet.
Correct. If you've seen IGO in the last year or so, it appears that IGO's filling up, and we've actually gotten that question, how much more time do you guys have? It's kind of a false sense because there's 24 acres developed right now, but we have 133 acres.
It covers that entire knoll that's out there.
Yes.
That's on both sides of the road, isn't it?
It does go across Gas Point. It goes across Small Farms Road to our right, or to our south, and then it goes almost all the way to Clear Creek Road to our north. Those of us who plan to be around for a while and beyond, we'll have a home there at some point.
Well, I can remember coming home from Iraq, my first tour in 2003, and being out there for the dedication when the governor was there. They flew him in there with the CHP helicopter, and he was there for the dedication. And I thought to myself, I've only been a chief petty officer for a couple of years and coming back from my first tour, and I thought, boy, what an opportunity it would be to be able to come out here and to serve. Someday, because I was right in the middle of my Navy career. I knew we were going to go back to Iraq again for a second tour. I had no idea all the details of it. But I thought to myself, what a great opportunity here in our community that we have this, and yet not knowing that when I came back from Iraq, my second tour, that I would almost be there, living there every single day. You know, between 2007 and 2012, we were burying upwards of 6 World War II veterans a day. We would do 6 services a day for World War II veterans and Korean War veterans during that time frame. It was the greatest period of loss for the generation, for the greatest generation of our World War II veterans who lived in our Northern California area. And other areas, too. People come here, are interred here from all over the United States, not just California.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just it was a privilege and an opportunity for me to be able to be part of that because I knew that it was so critical to the families, I mean, my father being a World War II veteran, my mother serving during World War II for the Navy, how critical it was in their lives. My mother's still living at 93, I believe. And so, but with the loss of Dad before the cemetery was built, he's up in Weaverville. And so, but what it means to the families in our community to know that their loved one is buried in such a honorable place and such a beautiful location. And with the chapel and now the memorial area with the other memorials that are being brought in with the Air Force and the Vietnam memorial that are out there, and others that are planned or slated to be able to be there.
Yeah, there is a Marine Corps memorial that's in the planning stages, so we're excited about that.
I've had lots of Seabees say, we need a memorial out there. We need a Navy Seabee memorial. And they actually have one that is actually pre-made. They have one at Dixon. And the Seabees put one there at Dixon, which is the state cemetery in Sacramento.
Actually, Dixon's a national.
It is a national. I thought that was the state of California also.
No, there's still several national cemeteries in the state of California that are open. The one there at Dixon. There's the one in Santa Nella, which is the San Joaquin National.
Right. And I've done services there also.
Right. And
that's a beautiful location, too. It's in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you come into this beautiful location. It's no oasis.
One of my favorite things to say about the folks that come to IGO is they say, wow, you guys are really far out here. And I say, yeah, just when you think you're about completely lost, you're probably right at the gate.
Exactly, right there. So we're getting ready to come up on a break. We're talking with Mark George, Northern California Veterans Cemetery Director. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Step right up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Mama's sitting there. Looks like I only got a one-way ticket away. I sure wish I could give you one more kiss. And war was just a game we played when we were kids. Well, I'm laying down my gun. I'm hanging up my boots. I'm up here with God and we're both watching over you. So lay me down in that open field out on the edge of town. And know my soul is where my mama always prayed. If you're reading this, I'm already home.
Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burrows of the California Veterans Museum. I'm your host this morning. Our guest is Mark Jordan, Northern California Veterans Cemetery Director. And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. If you'd like to call in this morning, if you have any questions about the Northern California Cemetery, if you're looking for benefits, directions, information that might be for a family member, the number here is 605-4567. That's 605-4567. We will do our best to answer any questions that you have concerning the benefits for the cemetery and or for interment out there at the cemetery for military personnel and also the spouse that is qualified to be buried out there also. And so, Mark, we've been talking about the duties and everything that are going on at the cemetery and how you became in control or in charge of the position where you're at. We talked about doing services, you know, all the services that we did out there. And I was just reflecting on some of the things that, you know, when you're out there doing a service prior to the chapel, which is now completely weather tight when you're in the chapel. We've stood out there. I stood out there at attention for anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. In the snow, in the blowing snow, in the sleet, in the rain, in the blowing rain.
The 115-degree sun.
Dress whites, and you're soaking wet because it's just dripping off in your choker whites for the services in 115 degrees or whatever. I've had the soles of my shoes melt off of my white dress shoes walking back to the main office. I literally lost the soles. It was so hot on the asphalt. They just melted off. I left a trail of white heels all the way back to the office.
I think I remember that as a matter of fact.
It's just, yeah, I mean, and now you've got to get another set of shoes overnight because tomorrow you're doing another Navy service. And so, and one time I was, we were talking about doing a service out at the in Eureka for a Navy veteran. And it was overcast and it was drizzling. And all of a sudden, a storm came in. And the wind started blowing torrentially while you're standing at attention. It was a Catholic service, so they take longer than normal service. And on my left side, the water was running down my pant leg into my shoe, and the water was running out of my shoes from the wind blowing the heavy rain while we stood there at attention during this whole time frame. And your teeth are chattering, and you're trying to hold your composition in an attention status, and you're trying to do the best you can do for that family and for the United States Navy and that privilege. And it, you know, whether we do the services or those that are still out there that do the services in good weather or bad weather, the reflection that we give as far as the United States military and the honor for those who served our country, that's what it's all about. That's what it is. That's where that honor, where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes those families, when they come out to the cemetery, the only time they ever know anything about the United States military is when the honor guard comes out there and steps forward and they present that flag to them. That is the representation of that individual service, and that's the final step, that final honor. And so what a great privilege to have served out there for the United States Navy with you. And what a great privilege as you continue to carry on, even with bringing in new cemeteries.
Yeah, absolutely. The next project for CalVet will be the Southern California California State Cemetery, which will be in Orange County. It's still on planning stages. It's been the actual location has moved three times. So we've done CalVet has done or is working on now the third study of where the folks down there have wanted to put it. So the exact location.
Is it going on one of the older military bases that was down there? I know that it was a weapon station down there.
Well, originally, it was supposed to go on to El Toro.
It was going on El Toro. Okay. Yes. I served at El Toro also.
Yeah. But they found out that how many millions of dollars the cleanup was going to be.
Right. All that aviation fuel and oil, toxic materials.
The location for the cemetery was actually right out on the tarmac.
Wow.
So then it got changed to a strawberry field, strawberry farm out in a more rural, if you want to say that, for that part of the state.
Right.
But then it's been moved to a different location, still there in Orange County. So, you know, we're just kind of sitting back and letting the community down there decide where they are going to finally want it, and then we'll go through the grants
program. There's not a whole lot of room left down there for open spaces for a cemetery. I mean, they're really limited to what's available out there as far as with the encroachment of all of the building and the houses and the commercialism and everything else, especially with Disneyland right there. I mean, all those things. I'm surprised there's any room left that would be available for a cemetery unless it was a prior military facility.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, we're just kind of taking somewhat of a back seat and letting the community decide, community and the local governments down there decide where they finally want to have it, and then we'll move forward.
Do you have an idea of how many interments they're gonna that they're looking at?
I think it would be somewhere the same size as the Monterey Cemetery, which the complete. Size of that one is somewhere around 78 acres.
78 acres.
Yeah.
And so as we move forward with IGO Veteran Cemetery, how many do we have interred out there right now as far as veterans and their loved ones?
There's right around 7,500 up here now.
7,500.
Yes.
So and how many more can be interred until you get to the point where we're going to have to do either more columbarium or more grave sites?
Well, columbarium, we're working on that expansion now. We're working with the federal grants program. There's only about 400 columbarium available spaces right now, but when we get the expansion in, there'll be another 2,000. So we'll hopefully have that within the next 2 years. It may push a little bit further than that, but we're working on that. In-ground space, in-ground cremation space, we have quite a few. We actually just got done reestablishing the grass out in the front section
right,
of the cemetery.
We lost all that for a year or two.
So we've worked real hard to get that reestablished and had the front section of that actually marked out for all the in-ground graves out there. So there's somewhere around 1,200 new grave sites marked out there. So when we get filled up there right by the chapel, we'll move right on out.
Now, do they have the vaults already in the ground, or will they have to go in there and put vaults in the ground?
So that for that section, it's the in-ground cremains. There's no vault in the ground.
Okay.
Those are direct urn burials into the ground. The next casket section will be on the opposite side of that, right in the front of the cemetery where we haven't reestablished the grass. And there will be somewhere around 1,000 to 1,200 graves put in there when we do it. And, yes, those will be preset crypts.
Is that where the CHP helicopter lands, all the way out there next to the fence line?
Well, we had them land there 1 year, and after that dust storm, we were not going to do that to them again. We have them on the other side now back in the grass. But, yes, that'll be the next casketed section. Mm-hmm. Caskets right now, we're good to go for at least another 4 years. Maybe closer to five, depending on the rate that we get. But you know, we'll start looking at the expansion there in the next couple of years.
It seems like there's always something new that's going on out there. Whether you're working with the chapel or you have new memorials that are being brought in, like the beautiful ones for the Vietnam veterans, and then also for the Air Force, the globe with the circular aircraft flying around it. And then you just had a Boy Scout come in and do his scout project, his master project, and he put the flags along the entranceway and the exitway of the main gate.
Yes, that was the Eagle Scout project, yes. Which Frank Kohlberg and I actually helped quite a bit, because that was a pretty ambitious project. When right. That was Kyle Gardner, when he came to us as in the Cemetery Monuments and Memorials Committee, when he came to us with his project, we thought it was pretty ambitious, but we were glad to take it on. It sounded fantastic, and obviously the proof is in the pudding there.
Well, I want you to know that as you move forward to some of these projects that you're doing out there, as we get ready here to break ground for the Northern California Veterans Museum, some of our entrance ways and some of the things that we have that we'll be putting in will be mirrored to the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. So there'll be cobblestone, and there'll be the flags that go along the walkways and the different monuments and things like that. So it's going to be a great opportunity for us to mirror and have that as a likewise organization to our community and to honor our veterans. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do? If not If not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. This is Senior Chief Ron Perl, retired United States Navy Seabees. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show. Our guest again is Mark George, Director for the Northern California Cemetery. And, Mark, you are in charge once again of the Yountville Cemetery. You oversee the Yountville Cemetery. You oversee the new Monterey Cemetery, the Veterans Cemetery, and then now also you're going to be doing Orange County as they continue to make improvements and decide exactly where it's going to be located also.
Yes. So
tell us a little bit, we're down to our last few minutes, about all the events that you have at the cemetery throughout the year and how impactful those are to our veterans community.
So we have events for Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and for Reads Across America, that national group there. A huge events for the community here. Whether you always hear about them, that they're coming down the pike or not, sometimes we don't get those flyers out right away,
right,
or as far out in advance as we like to, but it's a guarantee that we're going to have those that every year.
Annual event.
So, absolutely.
We have some really great hero speakers that are there.
You know, yeah, I mean, we've been very fortunate. We've had everybody from my friend that I grew up, early in my life that ended up being a Green Beret. He retired out as a lieutenant colonel, Army Green Beret, did several tours all around the world. He came up and did a speaking for us. We had one of the survivors of the USS Arizona come up and do speaking for us. He was on board when the bomb hit the ship and destroyed the Arizona, and you know, many, obviously many others. So we've been very fortunate to have the speakers that we've had during the different events. One thing I like to also remind everyone is that when we do participate with the Reads Across America national event, but if you donate, we do ask that. We, as in the Cemetery Support Board, asks that you support the local Reads Across America group, which is done through them, because we actually put out the same wreaths every year, and we keep them at the cemetery. They buy new ones. We don't actually use the live wreaths.
That saves all kinds of money.
Saves tons and tons of money.
So when Kim Chamberlain and I first started doing the first 2 years, I went out and brought back trailer loads of bough branches of pine trees. I mean, we went and trimmed them off of every tree in Redding and Shasta County that we could find, and then brought them back and made them into real wreaths.
Right.
I mean, that, talk about a labor of love. I mean, we're talking thousands of wreaths right off the bat. I think it was like 3,500 wreaths the first year,
right,
that we did. And those were all handmade live wreaths,
right,
with a few people. And with baling wire and the reason, and then putting all of the red bows on them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been through some major things out there.
It's been a lot
in
of
our community.
A lot of learning.
It
a lot
has
of
been.
Learning going on up there.
And we just do it. We don't get a lot of credit for it or kudos. And that's the other thing is I'm going to say thank you to Frank and his team that are out there that do all of the work out there. They do all the burials. They do them by hand. They don't use lasers. They use strings. They use levels, and they do a fantastic job. He
always
putting
in those headstones is all string line concrete stakes and plumb levels.
And all the other cemeteries use lasers and all kinds of stuff. And Frank is still doing the old school, but you know what? It works for what's going on out there. And so kudos to Frank. I've known Frank for many years. And he silently does his job out there. He busts his butt, even though he's got some back issues and things like that. And he runs the crew. And
you know, Frank has been doing cemetery work for well over 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the unsung hero out there that makes that cemetery sparkle and look so good. People don't – they think about it. They don't notice it. But when you walk those lines and you look at those headstones row on row – and they're lined right up, and they look good, and they're not uneven. That all goes back to Frank and his team.
Yep. Yeah, we're going through right now, actually, and doing some raise and realignment. Some of the ones that have sunk over time, or we've done replacements, they're a little too high. We're going back through and fixing all those. We have another VA inspection coming in April, so we're getting ready for that.
How do you guys stand? I mean, you guys are in the top tier, aren't you? I mean, you guys win awards all the time.
Yeah, we won the Excellence in Appearance Award back in 2013. We just missed the National Shrine Standards when we got inspected in 2015, but we're hoping to make that this time after the way they changed their inspection process in 2015 was very different from before. They sent out five different people from the VA to look at us every different which way. So we 92% was what we needed to hit for National Shrine Standards, and we were at 89.
Wow.
So we actually did very well considering having gone through that process this way the first time. So we're cleaning those up. We've been cleaning those other things up over the last couple of years.
Well, I don't know how you can stay on top of it. You have so many burials every single day, and you're waiting for all those stones, the headstones, to be able to come in. Sometimes they're delayed. Sometimes they don't come in. All different kinds of details that you're dealing with. Power outages when everybody loses their power in Shasta County. Tell us of some of the things, the hurdles that you've had to overcome by not having any power at the cemetery.
So, you know, the power outages when PG&E turns the power off, unfortunately that turns us off and shuts us down too, because of course we're on the electrical grid just like everybody else. But also when we've had the major fires, not only do they turn our power off, but they close the road so we can't get into the cemetery.
Well, and we came out with the museum, and we helped to evacuate some of the key items in your offices and things like pictures and things like that, so that that stuff would be saved if it didn't get burned. So we've been key being able to work with the cemetery and help make that happen also as a team member with the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, it's been very regrettable that in some of these emergencies that we've had to reschedule burials. And fortunately, pretty much everybody has been very understanding that, you know, hey, I'm sorry, but the power's turned off, so we can't get in to work.
Right.
But we've made every effort when that has happened to either reschedule or make the military honors happen at a different location.
You lose power, so, you lose your phones. I mean, it's just chaos. And that affects everybody that's involved with the cemetery as far as people trying to work with you.
Yeah, we're working on trying to get a backup generator put out there so that when PG&E decides to turn us off in the future, we'll have a backup generator. That's something that the VA, the National, doesn't necessarily consider when they put these cemeteries in.
So far out.
Right, exactly. So hopefully we'll get that taken care of in the future as well. You know, we're always trying to do something to either improve the operations or improve the look of the cemetery. So.
Well, it shows. It shows in everything you do as you get ready to come up for your new national awards and for the different things that you have to be prepared for. We know that your team out there is going to do their best, and it shows every time we have a service out there or every time we have an event out there. The entire facility is immaculate. Everything looks good. It's trimmed. It's tapered. It's clean. And how many places that you go to now are not, even if you go to some military facilities or to other cemeteries, they don't shine like Arlington West does.
Well, there's a lot of pride and that goes into and the dedication from the staff that obviously shows.
Mark, we're coming up on our last minute here, and is there anything special you want to just talk about real quick or anything that's coming up that you want to share as we get ready to close out the program?
Well, one thing is that in the near future, we're going to be doing a renovation in the chapel. So the chapel will be closed down for a period of time while we redo the fire suppression system in there. So we won't have that luxury of the weatherproof building.
Be out of the weather again.
For a little bit. So bear with us as we do that. But, you know, if you've never been up to the cemetery, I know it's a little bit of a drive up there. You know, stop through and just take a look, because you never really see something like it.
No, and like you said, it's like our Arlington West. It's just a great opportunity to be out there. I am privileged to have been a part of it from the very beginning and continue to support it, even though I'm not doing funerals out there now. Every now and then I get a chance to be a pallbearer at one of our veterans' internships.
Well, I'm always glad to pull you back up for the event, so you run those shows very well.
Well, we do the best we can because it honors all those that are out there, and it honors us that are still alive, that are in our community, and want this to be a success as long as we can. So thank you, Mark, for being here.
Absolutely.
You're always welcome to come back. Thank you for your military service, and thank you for your leadership in our community.
Thank you.
This is Rob Burrows. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. Join us again next week from 9 to 11.
We went out for beers and a couple laughs, knowing full well that every bad joke that Jimmy told.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.